what was the, usually Rashi speaks about what is the essence, what is the point that one needs to, so to speak, pinpoint and bring out, where's the emphasis that one needs to look at. And over here, Rashi says, Lama nismecha parashat meraglim leparashat Miriam? Why is it that we found that the parasha of Shelach comes right after of parashat Miriam, which she spoke about her brother? What's the connection? Rashi says, Lefi shelakta liskei diba, she dibra beachia, ורשעים הללו ראו ולא לקחו מוסר. Rashi tells us that the reason is because the meraglim violated the same thing as Miriam. Miriam was speaking about Moshe Rabbeinu, and those people spoke about the land as well, and they did not learn the Musar from Miriam, or the story of Miriam. So therefore the Torah puts the two together. But it's interesting, why is it that they are called Reshaim? If they are so bad, why is it that over here, it's starting off with Shlach Lecha Anashim? Rashi says Anashim means Chashivut, Lashon Chashivut, Ota Sha'a Ksherim Ayu. How did they turn to be bad? It needs an explanation. How does a person that's from being Chashuv in the eyes of the Torah calls them Anashim, becomes and goes downhill so low? What's the explanation to that? And when we take a look also in the Parashah of Miriam, there's a lot of questions that arise that are not clear. Miriam went and she saw that Moshe Rabbeinu is separated from his wife. She heard this from Tzipora. And therefore, she goes to Aaron. Who was Aaron? Aaron was a person that ohev shalom. He's a person that's rodef shalom. It's mekarevet abriot. So therefore, he was always, Aaron always used to deal with shalom bayit, as Rashi indicates in Ptirat Aaron. So therefore, she comes to the biggest ohev shalom, to the biggest shalom bayit therapist, so to speak. And she wants to ask him what to do. And she tells him, look at the problem we have. Who she's telling this about? Her little brother that she took care of. This is her baby. She took care of him when he was at the Nilus. She looked after him. She took care of him. She's the one that we can say that really, really means for the good of Moshe Rabbeinu. So what did she do so bad that she spoke about Moshe Rabbeinu? But the Pasuk itself indicates over here that she didn't know that she's not allowed to say what she was saying. She didn't say anything bad. She didn't say anything negative. But she was not allowed to say whatever she was saying. Why? She didn't know that the story goes like this. She thought that Moshe Rabbeinu should have still lived with his wife, just like Miriam and Aaron live with their spouse. They didn't separate. They didn't go out of their house. So therefore, she thought that Moshe Rabbeinu is not any different than them. That's how Rashi explains it. And she wanted to fix the problem over here. She heard that Moshe Rabbeinu is not living anymore with his wife. She said to herself, she went to Aaron, and she said, you know what? Let's work this out. It's wrong. It's not. It shouldn't be like that. It's possible that Moshe Rabbeinu should not live with his wife, shouldn't be with his wife. That's not the way it should be. So the story goes like this, that Hashem appears to them and he tells them that I'm the one that told Moshe Rabbeinu that he should not live in his house anymore. Why is that? Because when he came down from Har Sinai, I said to Moshe Rabbeinu to tell everybody, Shuvu lachem le'olechem. Go back to your tents. Each person that was away from his house 3 days before Ma'amad Har Sinai, everybody had to separate. And therefore, they were away from the house. Now, Shuvu lachem lo alechem. Each one should go back to his home. Should go back to his wife. But Moshe Rabbeinu was commanded differently. V'atapu amod imadi. You should stay with me. According to that, that's a piece of information that Miriam didn't know. So she's going to get punished now. It's a rat because she didn't know something. How is that fair? It's not fair. It's not her fault. That is the question that needs to be explained in Parashat Be'alotcha. Rashi tells us afterwards the answer to this question, because it says in the Pasuk, Ech lo yaretem ledaber be'avdi be'moshe, which means there's over here a certain teana, there's a claim against Miriam. How is it possible that you didn't fear speaking about Moshe Rabbeinu? מדוע לא יראתם לדבר בעבדי במשה? Rashi tells us the following. En omer בעבדי משה. Correct Hebrew would be, איך לא יראתם, מדוע לא יראתם לדבר בעבדי משה? What does it mean? בעבדי? במשה. There's an extra bet over here. בעבדי? במשה. Should have been בעבדי משה, Rashi says. Rather, there's two problems with the fact you spoke over here. One is, you spoke בעבדי. Secondly, you spoke במשה. בעבדי, אף על פי שאינו משה. משה, אף על פי שאינו עבדי. Which means, even if he would be my slave, and he wouldn't be Moshe Rabbeinu, he would be somebody else, how is it possible you're not afraid to speak about him? And Moshe Rabbeinu, even if he wouldn't be my slave, how is it possible that you're not fearful of talking about him? מדוע לא יראתם לדבר בעבדי במשה? כדאי הייתם לראות מפניו. You should have had fear from him. כל שכן שהוא עבדי ועבד מלך מלך. You should know that now it's even worse. He's not only Avdi, he's not only Moshe, but he's Avdi Moshe. He has two qualities. And that you should have known. Aya lachem lomar en amelech ohavo chinam. You should have said to yourself that the king doesn't love him for no reason. That's what Rashi comes to tell us. So this is what Hashem ta'ana on Miriam is. Miriam and Aaron. Which means the fact you didn't know that he should have been separated from his home. Okay, that you didn't know. You don't need to know that. That's fine. But I have another problem with that. Do you know that I love Moshe? Yes, you do. Do you know that he's separated from his home? You do. So that means that he's doing something that I, apparently, you think that I don't like. And since I love him, there's a contradiction over here. I love him, and his actions over here are not fitable, they're not correct. Has to be over here something, since something's wrong with the picture, has to be that what he's doing is correct. That you should have known. You should have known that whatever you see with your eyes, whatever you hear with your ears, doesn't fit the correct thing that needs to be done. What is the correct thing? Obviously something else. You don't understand everything that goes on. In our story, I'm the one that told him not to go back home. Atapo amodi madi. That's what happened over here. But you should have known that you didn't need to know. You didn't know that I spoke to him and told him, Atapo amodi madi. I don't need to tell the whole world his private life. But this you should have known. Since the king loves him, HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves Moshe Rabbeinu, so therefore what he's doing has to be that he's correct. And if you see something that you don't understand, so leave it as something that you don't understand. Maybe you'll say, says Rashi, that I don't know what he's doing. Maybe you know better than me. Maybe you heard something, a piece of information that I didn't know. That would be Izuk Hashem min HaRishona. If you say such a thing, that would be already kfirah. That you can't say at all. Because you would think that I don't know what Moshe Rabbeinu is doing. I don't know what happens with him. Hashem knows everything. So therefore, you need to know, since I know what he's doing, and I approved it, so therefore must be a reason, and you don't need to know the reason, but that you need to know, that when Hashem loves somebody, it's for a reason. And that is the end of Parashat Be'alotcha. Comes Rashi in the beginning of Parashat Shelach, and tells us the correlation between Moshe Rabbeinu and the Meraglim. What happened with the Meraglim? The Meraglim went to Eretz Israel. Did they speak anything negative? Not necessarily. When you take a look at the Psukim, we don't see much negativity in the Psukim because Moshe Rabbeinu told them exactly what they should do. Moshe Rabbeinu gave them instructions. You go to the land, this is what you need to do. וישלח אותם משה לתור את ארץ כנען, ויאמר עליהם עלו זה בנגב ולתם אל הער. Moshe Rabbeinu tells them exactly what they need to do, where they need to go, what they need to search, what report they need to come back. So they go and they give him exact intelligence of what they did. Uritem et haaretz, says Moshe Rabbeinu. Go see the land. Mai. Ve'et ha'am ha'yoshev aleha. Go see how's the land and the nation that lives in there. Is the nation in there chazak or arafe? Is it a strong nation or a weak nation? Ha'me'atu imrav, is a lot of people or very few? Ma'aretz asher hu yoshev ba. Ha'tovai imra'a. Is the land good or bad? Has the cities Are they protected? Do they have walls? הבמחנים ובמבצרים. מה הארץ? השמנה עם רזה. Is the land bringing out fruits? Has the fruit, the good fruits, שמנה? Or רזה, or very weak fruits? היש בעץ עם עין? Does it have trees? All kind of questions that Moshe Rabbeinu tells them, this is what you need to come back. This report you need to tell me when you come back. And also, bring me a proof. ולקחתם מפרי הארץ. Bring fruits of the land. So they do exactly to the letter what Moshe Rabbeinu tells them. ויעלו ויתור את הארץ ממדבר צינה לרחוב לבו חמת. Exactly how Moshe Rabbeinu tells them to go and what to do. They come back and they tell him an exact report exactly as he told them to do. וישובו מתור הארץ מקצר 40 יום. והלכו ויבואו אל משה ולאהרון וכל הדת בני ישראל. And they tell him the following. ויספרו לו ואמרו, באנו אל הארץ אשר שלחתנו. We fulfilled your message. וגם זבת חלב ודבש. So, the land is beautiful. It's flourishing. It's זבת חלב ודבש. זה פריה. We brought back the fruits. אפס, but you need to know. אז העם היושב בארץ. It's a very strong nation that's sitting in the land of Israel. Are they corrected what they said? Yes, because the Ramban says that Moshe Rabbeinu himself said that to the nation. He told them himself that in the land of Israel, you have over there nations that are very strong. And they continue and say, V'arim betzorot gdolot meod. The cities are very protected with high walls. Moshe Rabbeinu said the same exact thing. Moshe Rabbeinu told them that the betzorot, and they have walls up to the sky. So Moshe Rabbeinu already told them exactly that these things is not an easy thing. You're going into a place that's a very hard place to conquer. גם ילידי ענק ראינו שם. So everything they're saying is correct report to the point and everything that Moshe Rabbeinu asked them to do. And Moshe Rabbeinu himself in פרשת דברים, beginning of פרשת דברים, tells the nation exactly what they're saying even more. המלאק יושב בארץ הנגב, החיטי והיבוסי. So what did they did wrong? What they do wrong by telling exactly what they were sent for? This was the reason they were sent, to come back with that exact report. Rather, Rashi tells us, you know what they did wrong. Just like Miriam didn't do anything wrong if she would speak to a normal person. To a normal person, you're trying to do shalom bayit between two people, that's a beautiful thing. But when you speak about Moshe Rabbeinu, you have to be afraid. Why? Because you should have known that you should have known, Rashi says. Ayah lachem lida. You should have known that Hashem loves him. And since Hashem loves him, there's gotta be that what he's doing is correct. Gotta be that what he is right now performing, that in your eyes, it's the most terrible thing. Person that doesn't go back to his home. How could I say Hashem loves such a person? Hashem doesn't like people like that leave their house and don't come back home. But since Hashem still loves him, so it's got to be a reason you don't understand. And there was. What is it? Hashem told him. Same thing in Parashat Shelach. These people were sent to Eretz Yisrael, and they come back and they need to give a report, and that is absolutely correct. But when you give the report, you need to be very, very scared and afraid. Madu alo yaretem ledaber be'avdi be'moshe. Why you have to be afraid? Because Hashem loves the land of Israel. We found that throughout the Torah, that Hashem loves the land of Israel. And therefore, since Hashem loves the land of Israel, and you see over there things that you don't understand, you see people dying. All day, you see over there all kind of people dying, and people are in Levaya. They're burying their death. So you say they're dead. So you're saying to yourself, this is Eretz Ochelet Yoshveah. That's what they came back and they said. But the reason that is happening is not because Eretz Ochelet Yoshveah, because Hashem is trying to protect you because of that, Hashem made that they'll be busy all day with their people that are dying, so they're not going to be paying attention to you. So therefore, since Hashem loves that land, and you're seeing things that don't fit with you, you see things that you're saying, that's impossible. How is it possible that you'll have such a land? That's not a good land. But you need to know, since Hashem loves it, what you're seeing with your eyes gotta be either a mistake or a misunderstanding in your part. Because Hashem loves that land. So if you see people dying, it's because of a different reason. And there was a different reason, as we explained. You see, there's very big nations. That's not a reason that Hashem is not going to love the land and we shouldn't go there. And therefore, what they did wrong over here is exactly what Rashi says, that they spoke about what Hashem's. When Hashem loves something and it doesn't fit with your eyes, it doesn't fit with your understanding, something wrong over here. How could we go to the land of Israel? Something's wrong here. You need to know there's nothing wrong since Hashem loves the land of Israel. And this is what Rashi comes to say. Lama nismecha parashat meraglim leparashat Miriam? What's the correlation? Lefi shelakta liskei diba, shedibra beachia. Miriam spoke about her brother. She didn't say anything negative. The Rishonim say that she didn't say anything negative. She was trying to make the marriage back together, put the marriage together. Salvage the marriage. But you're speaking about Moshe Rabbeinu. Be'avdi be'moshe. When you speak about Moshe Rabbeinu, it should be treated with silk gloves. It would be treated on the most soft manner. And therefore, Rashi says, Kedai heyitem liro mipanav, v'haya lachem lomar, en ha-melech ohavo chinam. Same thing with the land of Israel. When you come to speak about the land of Israel, it could be that everything you're saying is correct. And you bringing back the report the way it is. But the pasuk says over here that they spoke bedibat, v'yotziu dibat ha'aretz asher taru otah. They didn't say anything bad. But you speaking without fear about something that Hashem loves, that is wrong. And what you're seeing has to be that it's not understood correctly in your part. And this is a musar for us. There are things that we don't understand and we look at them in a negative way. And we know that Hashem loves those things. Some people feel they have all kind of complaints against the yeshivot. In here, in Israel, people should go to work, people should go to this, all kind of different complaints. But does Hashem love the yeshivot? Hashem ohev she'are tzion. And Hashem wants dalet amot shel halacha more than anything else. And there's many, many chazalim that say that Hashem loves those who learn Torah. He loves their Torah. He loves their yeshivot. So therefore, if you don't understand, why is it that those people are doing what they're doing? And therefore, you have complaints about them. You have to remember that Rashi. Rashi says that en amelech ohavo chinam. I don't have to know everything, but I do need to know, says Rashi. That yaya lachem lida, says Rashi, that a person needs to be very, very careful when he speaks about something that Hashem loves. That is also when we deal with Am Yisrael. Does Hashem love Am Yisrael? We found it in the Torah, in the Nevi'im, in the Ketuvim, in the Tefillah. Ohev Amo Yisrael. Ahavti etchem, amar Hashem. And the Pasuk asks, why is it that you love us? B'meh avtanu v'rei ach Esav le'Yaakov. What's the difference between us and Esav? Look, Esav is doing things that are wrong and Am Yisrael doing the things that are wrong. What's the difference? It's the same thing. Why you love us? But this claim is a wrong claim. Why? Because if Hashem loves Am Yisrael, so therefore there's a reason behind it. Maybe some things that I'm doing wrong, but Am Yisrael at large loves Am Yisrael. Everybody needs to speak about Am Yisrael with fear and with being so, so careful. And therefore we found that Moshe Rabbeinu was lokeh because he spoke about Am Yisrael not correctly, not in the utmost careful way. We found that the Nevi'im were punished because of that. And since they use such Lashonot, that were not fit for the respect of Am Yisrael. And they were punished because of that. Because Hashem says, those are my nation, those are the people that I love. People need to remember that and be so careful when it comes to that. Second point we find in the parasha is that we just asked the question that the Meraglim didn't do anything wrong. They came back and they gave a report. We wanted to explain them. Maybe what they did wrong is they didn't speak in that same fear they should have spoke when they spoke about the nation of Israel. But last year we explained that the problem with the Meraglim was that although they come in to say exactly things the way they are, but when they come to give the report, they're not only giving it to Moshe Rabbeinu as spies usually do. They go to the general, they go to the prime minister. That who needs to hear the report. It's not public news. Over here, they went to spy the land. They come back with a report about the land. Who's deserving to hear the report? You go to the one on top, to the person that needs to hear about that. Those are the generals, the people that on top, they need to deal with it. What happens over here? Ve'ilchu ve'evo el Moshe ve'el Aaron. They went to Moshe, they went to Aaron, and they told him exactly what have happened. Ve'el kol adat b'nei Yisrael. But after they left the tent of Moshe and Aaron, and they gave over exactly the story of what happened, they went afterwards, el kol adat b'nei Yisrael, to the entire nation. They made a big demonstration, and they spoke in front of everybody. This is what happened, this is what we saw. Public news. And they're telling them everything, they're showing them the grapes. So that is something that one is not allowed to do. This is how the Ketav Sofer explains it. That although they said everything exactly the way things are, and they didn't add anything, they didn't deduct anything, they didn't say anything wrong, but you don't put it on the CNN. You don't make it public news. And we explained it last year. That's what we said. That this thing today is so worn out that people have to have their life public. Today, everybody's life is already a public domain. Everybody knows about everything. It's Reshut HaRabim. Everybody knows about the history of every person, and not that they needed to investigate. Today, everybody puts it available to anybody to see. They can see how he looks like. They can see how he looked like when he was a baby. Everything today, and his information about his family, every possible information about a person is available almost to everybody. That is what we're saying over here. We're saying over here that some things need to be kept private. Today, you sit down in a bus, or you sit down in the train, and a person sits right near you. You can, within half hour of sitting in the bus or half hour of sitting in the train until you reach your destination, you know already everything about that person because he's on the phone. And he tells the person on the other line everything about his life, all his problems with his spouse, all his problems with his kids, all his problems with his place of work, what's going on in the schools, what's going on in the neighborhood. Everything that you need to know, that become public news. Not only the person on the other line already knows it, but everybody that's sitting around him knows everything. You go to the dentist, you sit down by the dentist office, you have people talking over there like they're sitting in their own house. That is something that is wrong. People, life is a private thing. You leave your private life to yourself. You have to speak about it. Leave the place and speak in the privacy of your own home, place that nobody can hear. But today people feel that they don't have any kind of shame to speak out and to lay out all the life from beginning till the end with the problems. Sometimes it comes out to be so disgusting and embarrassing that people speak out things that are so private in public in front of everybody. So that is what we learn over here. When you speak, you need to say some things. You could say it. You need to say it to the correct people. You go to Moshe Rabbeinu. You go to Aaron. But you don't go to Klal Israel, as the Pasuk indicates over here that they did. And that is what they did wrong. This is how we explained it last year. Today, we want to explain a little bit more. Why is it that they did what they did? They went over there and they told everybody all those things. So we found over here, very interesting, that the Meraglim knew exactly, since they lived within Am Yisrael, betoch ami, Anochi Yoshavet. They knew exactly what people fears are, what are the weaknesses of people, what causes people to feel that this is where you press and they completely on that do whatever you want. That is something that the Meraglim knew. That is called preying on somebody's weaknesses. You know that a person has a certain weakness, and you have an agenda of trying to get something. So the way you'll do it is you'll press on his weakness in order to get your agenda through. And this is what happened over here. Over here, the Meraglim knew Am Yisrael. They lived within Am Yisrael. They heard what Am Yisrael are talking about. They saw that people, as we found in many Psukim in the Torah, are very scared of coming into the land of Israel. For many reasons. One reason is, you're going into a new place. You don't know if you be able to fit in that land when you move to a new location. It's not so easy to become part of the new neighborhood, part of the new place. Very hard to adjust. That's first of all. Secondly, you're going into that place. There are very strong nations over there. And the going into a land and taking away their houses requires a real deal of a fight. And that fight seems to be over here a very hard fight, because the land of Israel is known to have over there very vicious people. So therefore, Am Israel was scared of making that move of conquering the land of Israel. But when the Meraglim come back, they take that fear and they put salt on that wound. They press on that button that's considered their weakness. And what do they do? What do they say? They come in and they say, lichora, on the surface, it looks like they're just giving the report. They're telling everybody, listen, we went, this is what we saw. All good. That's what we were asked to do. But they have a hidden agenda over here. What was the hidden agenda? They're saying like this, ve'elchu ve'evo el Moshe ve'el Aaron, v'kol adat me'Israel. That's the reason they went to all Am Israel. Ve'isapru lo ve'yomru banu el ha'aretz. Ephes, see, that's exactly where they know they can get the nation. Ki aza ama yoshev ba'aretz, the nation over there are very strong. Harim betzorot gedolot, they're armed, they're protected, they have over there the Iron Dome. You try to do anything, it's protected. Harim betzorot gedolot meod. Gam yelidei anak reinu sham, people over there are giants. Now, giants to the real meaning of giants, because when they saw the Meraglim, they saw ants. So imagine if the size of those Bnei Anak, this Yelidei Anak, were not giants in our way of understanding. Rather, they were real giants. The size of the Meraglim compared to them was size of a person to an ant. And they said, look, we're seeing very interesting, strange ants today in the Kerem, in the vineyard. That's what they were saying. So therefore, Bnei Lidei Anak Rishon, go fight against those kind of people. And not only that, Amalek Yoshev Beretz Hanegev. Amalek was the vicious nation. The Amalekim, when they saw Am Israel, they cut the Brit Milah and they threw it, which means these were people that are vicious, cruel, torturing nation. Anybody that would fall to their hand would be like falling into ISIS. That would do torture them and do all kind of things to them. So that's a real fear. It's not just going to fight a war and worse comes to worse, you get killed. That is the worst case scenario. Over here, going to Amalek were people that knew how to torture people. They knew how to put fear in people's eyes. And therefore, just like today, ISIS, that's their technique. What do? They put all over the media all kind of things to put fear. Don't come to fight with us, because if you fight with us, it's just not a regular war. We're going to torture you. We're going to do all kinds of things to you that is just not worth the fight. It's not just worth getting yourself into it. That's what happens over here. So Mimele, when Am Yisrael are hearing those things, if they already were scared, now they get such fear that they can't even tolerate it. What else do they say? They say, Eretz yochelet yoshvei. People were dying over here. And we all day saw Levayot, people burying their dead. What did they try to say by that? They're saying by that there's no value to human life. You see people dying all day. That's not a natural death. That is because those people were killed. Just like you go, for instance, to Syria. Syria has no value for human life. People kill, this one kills that one. People are dying by the thousands and by the tens and hundreds of thousands. And nobody says anything. Once in a while, you'll hear something on the news. But the way of life they have over there is such a way of life that one kills the other. Nobody cares about it. Nobody pays attention to it. And that is a normal way of life. That's what you're trying to tell them over here. You need to know that you're going to the land of Israel. That land is Eretz Ochelet Yoshvea, the people killing each other. What does that mean? It means that once you go in there, they're not going to have any mercy to you. They're going to do, if they catch you, they'll do anything brutal in their mind. They'll do anything vicious that they would ever think of. These, the Nazis were nothing compared to them. That's what this, that is the hidden message over here. Eretz ochelet yoshveah. When a person hears Eretz ochelet yoshveah, they say, oh, yishar koach, that's what's happening over here. Thank you very much. We got a report of the land. But that's not what they're trying to say. They said that, but the message they're trying to pull through that a person needs to hear and a person needs to understand is that these people have no value for anything. They'll do anything. And therefore, that draws much more fear into people's hearts. And they continue on and on and on. That is called preying on people's weaknesses. And that is something that the Meraglim were experts by doing it over here. And the reaction was exactly to that. Vatisa kol ha'eda ve'itnu kolam. Et kolam ve'ifkuam balaila. Everybody started crying. You can imagine adults sealing and crying all night. It's such a sin. Rather, you see that that is what's happening with you. They drew such fear. They put such fear in them that even the adults were sitting with everybody else and crying and crying. How could we go into the land of Israel? And what was that that they were afraid? They said the following. They said, "Lumatnu be'eretz Mitzrayim u'bamidbar hazeh lumatnu." We wish we would die either in Mitzrayim or over here. That would be much better off. Why? "Lama Adonai mevi otanu el haaretz hazot linpol b'cherev. Nashenu v'tapenu yu lavaz. Alo tov lanu shuv Mitzrayim." It's better that we would die in Mitzrayim. What's the difference? Dying in Mitzrayim or dying here? That's what they're saying. "Linpol b'cherev." B'cherev means that dying with a sword is not a regular death. Just like beheading the person and goodbye. Rather, over here is a torturous death. And therefore, they got so scared. It would be better in Mitzrayim already. In Mitzrayim, at least, they didn't kill us. And even if we would die over there, it wouldn't be in a torturous way. But not only that. Nashenu v'tapenu yu lavaz. After they kill us, what do they do in wars? As soon as they kill the man, they enslave the wives and the children. They take them for slaves. Now, that being a slave doesn't mean go to work in a field. It's the most horrible thing. Anybody that opens the news and sees how people are enslaved in those places, that's what they were afraid. Our wives, our children, Nashenu v'tapenu yu lavaz, alo tov lanu shuv Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim was much better. Why Mitzrayim is better? For a very simple reason. In Mitzrayim, at least, the Egyptians let them live. Yeah, they enslaved them. Yes, they abused them. Yes, they caused them a hard life. The life was miserable. But at least they lived. At least they left the children and the wives alone. They didn't do anything to the wives. They didn't do anything to the children. They were slaves. That's it. Slaves. It's hard as it is. It's very, very hard. And even the babies they used to kill. But on at large, children were able to grow normal. Just like slave normal. Wives were slave wives, but nobody did anything to them. Over here, we're going to the land of Israel. It's going to be a disaster. Nashenu v'tapenu yu lavaz. This is, they're not be over there slaves, but they're going to be lavaz, which comes to tell you what they're planning to do to Nashenu v'tapenu lo alenu. So therefore, people were so scared, they're telling Moshe Rabbeinu, let's go back. Now, we need to understand that we see from the whole Parshiot over here, as we learn, it's not only Shelach, but we see from the Parshiot over here that the nation of Israel had a fear that maybe Hashem doesn't have the power to bring them to the land of Israel. We found that throughout again and again. Even Moshe Rabbeinu says over here, he comes to tell them that, draw the message home to tell them that no, Hashem could do it. Of course Hashem could do it. Hashem is kol echol. Hashem could bring you to the land of Israel. And even when Moshe Rabbeinu speaks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he tells him that you should know it's better to work things out, because otherwise the nations of the world would say that you couldn't bring them into the land of Israel. So we see over here there's such a thought that were very, very common at the time, that people felt that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have the ability to win over and conquer the land of Israel. You have over there very strong nations. You have giants. The place is well protected. was against any logic that one can conquer such a thing. Imagine today you're trying to conquer Russia. Not America is trying to conquer Russia. You have the land of Israel trying to conquer Russia. That's like, you know, that's out of the question. How are you going to conquer such a thing? So somebody comes and tells you, no, but Hashem is going to help you out. Don't worry. Hashem is going to do it. What are you talking about? Hashem is going to do it. Go see what they have over there. The best weapons. They have nuclear weapons. They have the best armies. They have land. They have people. They have large amount of army. Everything is well-organized, a Russian army machine. Well, how are you gonna conquer such a thing? No, don't worry, Hashem is going to help us out. It doesn't work out so well, this claim. So this is what's going on over here. Moshe Rabbeinu comes and tells him, don't worry, Hashem is going to take you in. But people didn't hear it. They didn't hear it. He's not the only one. Yeshua and Kalev also trying to say that. What did they say to Am Yisrael? You see from what they're saying, what was the fear of Am Yisrael? Vayomu el kol adad bnei Yisrael, Kalev and Yehoshua saying to them, that im chafetz banu Hashem, vevi otanu el haaretz hazot. If Hashem wants us, he'll bring us into the land. Untana lanu, he'll give it to us. Eretz asher yizavat chalav utvash. So don't worry about it. Al Hashem al timrodu, al tem al tiru et am haaretz. Don't fear the people. Did the people actually buy their claim? They're saying, don't worry, Hashem is going to protect us. He wants to take us in. All going to be good. Well, what the reaction of the people? They're saying, oh, Yishar Koach, thank you for the chizuk. They're saying, what are you talking about? Why are they doing that? Because it doesn't make sense. What are you saying over here? How are you going to conquer such a land of Israel? How are you going to go conquer Russia? Right? That's just like you can't conquer Russia. You can't conquer the land of Israel. Impossible. What happens? Kvod Hashem nira be'ol moed el kol bnei Yisrael. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, how is it possible that people undermine my strength, my abilities? Vayomer Hashem Moshe, ad ana yenatzuni ha'am hazeh, ad ana lo yaminu bi b'chol ha'otot asher asiti b'kibur. How is it possible that this nation doesn't understand that Hashem is kol yachol? It's impossible. And Moshe Rabbeinu tries to, again, speaks to Hashem that the nations of the world are saying, maybe you're not going to be able to do it. ושמעו מצרים כי העלית בכוחה את העם הזה מקרבו ואמרו אל יושב הארץ הזאת, שמעו כי אתה השם בקרב העם הזה אשר עין בעין נראה. Maybe מבלתי יכולת השם להביא את העם הזה לארץ אשר נשבע להם וישחתם במדבר. The people are going to say, you're not able. You don't have the power to bring them into the land of Israel. That's what people would say, that's what the nations would say. So you see, this was the give and take throughout the whole time at their generation. There were people that were saying that it's impossible, even Hashem can conquer the land of Israel. This was the Mahalach over here. And Moshe Rabbeinu and Yehoshua and Kalev were trying to explain to them and get the message in that Hashem could do anything and Hashem could bring them in. But we need again to understand, what is it that they did wrong, this Meraglim? What they did wrong is not that they said anything wrong. They didn't say anything wrong. Everything they said was exact. The Ramban says like that. They said exactly what they were sent to do. But what they did wrong in the beginning, we explained, was they spoke without fear of the land of Israel. And when you speak about something that Hashem loves, you have to have fear when you're talking. Secondly, although they spoke without fear, but there's another problem over here. And that is, why did you demonstrate in front of everybody what you saw? Why did you loudspeak in front of everybody all the things that you just experienced? That's not a message that everybody needs to hear. That doesn't go on the national news. And thirdly over here, and even that's what we're saying even much more, they were preying on their weaknesses. They knew that they are afraid, and instead of giving them a chizuk, they told them all kind of hidden messages to their agenda over here in a way that it would get to them exactly to the point where they're going to break down. And that's what happened over here. They broke down. And from here also, we need to learn another musar, and that is, many times we do that, and that is something that we're not allowed to do. We prey on people's weaknesses. How do we do that? Maybe sometimes you have a salesman. He's trying to sell something. They come to you to buy something from you. As a salesman or a professional, sometimes it's a doctor. he needs to give an advice to the patient. He tells him, listen, you need to make an operation. And he's showing him now, a patient doesn't know, he's not a doctor. He's showing him an x-ray, he's showing him results of a test, he's showing him all kinds of things. He tells him, listen, if you don't do the operation, it's going to get much worse, it's going to be a life danger. This way, we'll fix the problem. And the reality is that many, many, many times, those doctors are manipulating. Why? Because they're getting a large amount of money for taking out and making such a surgery. You go to somebody's store and you want to change what you have. You have a cell phone, let's say. And you say, you know what? Let me see, something's not working here so well. You go to the cell phone store and he tells you, listen, your cell phone is too old already. It's just going to get worse and worse. You shouldn't, let me sell you something else. I'll show you something else. And you'll be able to change this and have a normal phone. Your phone is your life. How could you go around with such a phone? In reality, your phone is perfectly fine, and the salesman knows that. All he needed to do is change a battery within, or change some kind of chip inside, or fix something on the phone itself, and all is fine. With the new phone that he's trying to sell you, it's not any better in any way. It's just a newer brand, that's all. But since he knows that you know nothing about it, and he puts some pressure, and he manipulates you with some information that you wouldn't know and you can't know, and you trust him because he's the professional, then he makes the sale. And that is something that is wrong, because the Torah doesn't allow one to do such a thing. The Torah says, "Lifnei iver lo titen michshol," which means, as the Torah explains, that when you give a etzah ra'ah, you give a bad suggestion to somebody, a bad advice, that is a violation of the Torah. V'yareta mipnei Hashem Elokecha, which means that Rashi explains that what does it say over here, you should fear Hashem, because it's davar hamasur lalev, something that only the heart knows. The person himself speaks in his mouth, people think that he's talking the truth, he really means what he's saying, but in the heart he knows, but he's manipulating the customer. So what happens over here? The Torah says, be very careful. Something that the other person doesn't know, he comes for you for an advice, he trusts you, you must give him your best possible advice. And the example that the Rashi brings, that if a person has a donkey, and he comes and he asks you, what should I do with the donkey? You give him, say, you know you need such a donkey. You tell him, your donkey is no good, get rid of it, I'll find you a customer. You find him a customer, but the truth is, you're taking it for yourself. That is manipulating him to take what you need. That is called lifnei iver lo titen michshol. Giving a wrong advice to a person, it's a violation of the Torah. Many times we do that on a sale. We tell the person, get this, get that, and we manipulate him, turn him around. He doesn't know, and we sold him something that he doesn't need. And we found this all the time. We need to be very careful. This is called Avera. This is what they did over here. This is what we're saying over here. Trying to press on the button of the other person where it hurts him, where you know that that's his weakness. You know this is where he doesn't know, he's missing a piece of information, or he needs that very much, or other reasons. Boom, we do that. And we try to get results with that, bringing in our agenda in without the other person even noticing. We said that it's a very common phenomenon when a person goes to a vacation, and in that vacation he goes to put his head down and to relax for a few days, and as soon as he goes down the airport, people prey on him that he should go to see a timeshare. Well, what do they tell him? They don't tell him that we're going to try to sell you anything. Just go for 1 hour. We'll take you around, show you around. And for that, we'll give you a free tickets to here, free ticket to that, or a free stay in the hotel that you want to stay for 3 days. Wow, you say it's a wonderful thing. My calculation was $250 a night. They're giving me 3 nights for free, $750 worth. I'm just going to go for 1 hour. Who makes $750 an hour? So it's a bargain of a lifetime. You go for an hour and you think that everything is going to be done by that hour, but they press on you and pressure you and sit down on you and make you feel, make your conscious work so bad that you just don't know how to get out of it. And this is the way they work. Trying to see where your weaknesses are, whether it's informative weaknesses, whether it's conscience, whether it's feeling bad for the salesman, whether it's convincing the person or offering the world to the person that's trying to buy, and a person feels that he got his deal of a lifetime, and it goes on and on, and with that, boom, they make the sale, and you're stuck with a timeshare, and you don't know what to do with it forever. And this is how it's done in many, many different things. You go to a store, you have a salesman over there, and the salesman gives in time, and he's very nice, but you see, he's very convincing. He's very slick. He's trying to do all kind of different manipulations, all kind of different techniques to make the sale. You need to know that this is something that you stay away from. You need to be very careful. We said that, how do you stay away? How do you work out not to fall into people's hands, into people's clothes, into the salesman's clothes? And the way you do it is you tell them, you know what? Excellent, excellent thing. But I want to sleep over it. I want to think about it. Give me a couple of days. Give me a week. I'll come back to you. Once you take a step back, once you say, I want to think about it, although in the beginning it looked to you like the greatest deal possible, he's offering him now something that's a deal of a lifetime. You want to grab it and take it and run with it. But always take that moment to pause and to say, you know what? Let me sleep on it. Let me think about it. Give me a week. I'll come back next week. Let me make an informative decision. Let me make a decision that's not a rush decision. Once you do that, normally, almost always, you go back home and you think it over and you say, wow, it's really not such a good deal. I know so many people that fell into that, including me, so many times. You get something that looks very shiny, very good, very appealing, and boom, you fall into it, and then you're stuck with it in the most horrific way. So therefore, a person needs to say, you know what, let me think about it. Once you think about it, you see that the thing is really not as good as you thought, really not such a good deal, or maybe you don't need it. We said that there is such a thing over here that you have a Black Friday. Black Friday is very, very interesting because they'll drop the price and people would run to get as much as they can. Already before midnight on that Friday, people are lining up at the big stores outside for hours waiting to come in and be able to shop as much as they can, shop till they drop. They buy and they fill up the carriages and they take and they take and they take. Wonderful. They paid half price, sometimes even less than half price. You bought all kinds of things. You come home, what a bargain. But you see that there's a problem. Most of the things you never use. So you bought and you bought and you bought and you bought. But those things stay in the closet without any use. So what was the great thing about buying and buying and buying? That is the way to manipulate people. You drop the price. You do all kinds of different tricks and techniques and get the people to fall into your bait. You put a bait, boom, they fall into it. Just like a fish falls into a little warm bait. Boom, you put a bait into the person and people are so foolish, they run to it like a fish runs into the womb and they get it and then they're stuck with it. They don't know what to do with it. Sometimes it's not a big deal. Sometimes it is a big deal. You bought something that you stuck with it seriously. For example, many people in shidduchim, you see that you go out with the shidduch and the shatran tries to convince you, such a good girl, such a good boy, such a metziah, such a good thing, grab it before it's gone. If you're not going to take it, they're so hard in the market, it's going to be gone, take it. And they work on your conscience and you work on your on where you're coming from, that it's, you know, it's you're not going to find such a shidduch again. And it's so hard to say no anymore. You know, you went out so many times. She has feelings and she feels for you and you're going to break her heart. And all kind of things to convince you. But the end of the day, you'll be able to, the message is to be able to break down that person and to go through with what you want. Now, sometimes it's needed. Sometimes a person is stubborn for no reason, for no apparent reason. You're stubborn for no good reason. You don't want to go ahead with the shidduch. Why? What's wrong? Nothing's wrong. excellent shidduch, nothing wrong. So sometimes you need to put that pressure. But that is when you have a good cause, a good agenda. That is something like a parent. He wants the best for his children, fine. But when it's a shatran, some shatranim are very good, but some are not. And therefore, they'll put the pressure in order to close the shidduch. Sometimes it's a real estate agent that is trying to put make the sale, so he'll use every technique possible to make that. And this is what we learned from our parasha. What did the Meraglim do wrong? They went to the nation and they pray on what they wanted to give them. They had an agenda over here, and that agenda was fulfilled by putting salt on their wounds. That's it, in a very, very clean way. We're just telling you what we saw, Moshe Rabbeinu sent us, and this is the report. You put such an article in newspaper or online, and that does itself already the job. You don't need to do anything more. People get scared, people get feared, and everything works out by itself. Now, I was thinking to myself, what is it that the Meraglim, what was their agenda? What the Meraglim had, why is it that they wanted over here? What happened? There's all kind of perushim. Why is it that they made what they made? What was the intention? What was the agenda? But I was thinking the following, that since in last week's parasha, we learned that Eldad u'Medad were mitnavim. They were saying prophecy. And the prophecy that they were saying, as we see in Rashi says that the prophecy was that Moshe Rabbeinu will die and Yeshua is going to be the leader bringing Am Yisrael into the land of Israel. Now, the Meraglim don't have any problem with Moshe Rabbeinu. Just like a person that sits in yeshiva, for instance, and there's an old Rosh Yeshiva. Very big time at Chacham. He's not jealous of him because there's no interaction. He's nowhere in his realm of being jealous of. But you know that as soon as the Rosh Yeshiva passes away and he can't operate the Yeshiva anymore, so then all the Shualim Ktanim, Mechablim Kramim arise all of the sudden. Everybody wants their position. So therefore, they're trying to hurt one the other. That's what happens over here. They don't have a problem with Moshe Rabbeinu, but they have a problem that they heard in Nevuah last week from Eldad u'Medad that Moshe is going to be Niftar soon, and Yehoshua is going to lead Am Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael, that they can't handle, because who were the people that were Anashim Chashuvim, who were part of them? Those were the 10 Meraglim, plus Kalev, and plus Yehoshua. Two more people. Now they are jealous of Yehoshua. They're not jealous of Kalev. Kalev is not going into, is not leading Am Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael. But they're jealous of Yehoshua. So what do? They need over here to change the current events. They need to change what's going on over here in the nation. Let's not go to Eretz Yisrael. He's not going to get his position of being those that bring Am Yisrael to the land of Israel. And that is the reason, by the way, when we see that that after they started speaking, who's the one that was able to quiet everybody? That was Kalev. Yehoshua didn't speak one word. Why is it that Yehoshua is not talking? Only Kalev is talking. Because only Kalev can say something, because he's not nogea badavar, so they're willing to listen to him. They thought that Kalev is together with them, because Kalev is also jealous of Yehoshua. Kalev also has an agenda to go to against Yehoshua. That's what they thought. So therefore it says in the Pasuk, Vayas Kalev etam. Kalev quieted the whole nation to listen to him. And Rashi says over here that the way he did it was Eshtik et kulam, quieted everybody. Why? Lishmoa mashe edaber b'moshe. Everybody wanted to hear what he's going to speak against Moshe Rabbeinu, because he was screaming, Tzavach ve'amar, v'chizu bilvad asa lanu ben Amram. Is that the only evil thing that Moshe Rabbeinu did to us? Hashomea haya savur sheba lesaper b'gnuto. Person that heard them, heard Kalev, thought that maybe Kalev is trying to also speak against Moshe Rabbeinu. U'mitoch shehaya belibam al Moshe b'shvil divrei amraglim, shatku kulam lishmoa gnuto. And then Moshe Kalev was able to speak. How did the Meraglim also allow him to speak? Besides the people that thought that he's going to speak negative, because also the Meraglim thought that Kalev is in their side. Why? Because everybody had a united agenda over here to get Yeshua out of the question, out of his position, not to give him the authority. Don't give Yeshua the authority. The Yeshua is going to be the leader that they can't tolerate. And this is also something that's so nogea to our generation. We have so many times that as next generation comes to take the leadership, you see one fights against the other. And they'll change the whole world. You see that they'll change what they do in order to be able to get the leadership. And sometimes people are sacrificed with that. So many things, so many evil things happen along the way in order to push your agenda through. Just why? Because your other person, he should not be a leader. You'll do anything as long as the other person is not going to become the leader. And this is what the Meraglim did over here. The Meraglim heard Eldad Umidad. They said, we're going against Yeshua. How are we going to go with that? They can't attack Yeshua head on. Nothing wrong with Yeshua. What are you going to say against Yeshua? Change the agenda. Change the direction. Change what Am Yisrael is planning to do. Change what the Kadosh Baruch Hu is trying to do. Change the place of going. We're not going anymore to Eretz Yisrael. It's no good. We have to do something else. Once you do something else, the nevuah of Eldad Umedad is not going to be fulfilled, and then they could get their way through. This is what's going on in our parasha in very short summary. Thank you for listening for our Divrei Torah today, and have a Shabbat Shalom.